This episode of the Small Business Conversations podcast is sponsored by Nedbank Small Business Services.
This is Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba, unlocking essential advice, opinions, and key issues that affect South Africa's small business community.
Welcome to the first edition of the Small Business Conversations podcast for the month of October. This is MoneyWeb's weekly SME show highlighting critical issues affecting South Africa's small business environment. Today, I'm joined by Mabowang Matlo, the founder and CEO of Lifakong Moringa, an agricultural business based in the Northwest that concerns itself with the farming and processing of the Moringa plant. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with the plant, otherwise known as the jumpstick tree, but I can admit that my knowledge as a member of the natural hair community is confined to the odd social media post raving about its benefits for scalp and hair health. Now, Lifakong Moringa, on the other hand, does a lot more than process the plant into a powder. They, in fact, process the Moringa plant into a range of products, including tea, salt, and even gin. And today, we find out how and why they do it. Welcome to the podcast, Mabowang, and I'm so grateful for your time.
Thank you very much, and welcome to your listeners.
So let's start off on the why aspect. Why did you choose to get into the Moringa business?
Okay, first of all, I chose to go into Moringa because of the health benefits that it has. As you know, as you just eloquently put it, it's got lots of vitamins, 92 vitamins, trace elements, and, you know, minerals in it. It's called the tree of life, hence it's called the tree of life. So the Moringa itself, why we went into it is because of being part of a bigger picture of the food security, the natural elements that it has that it can sustain somebody, and most important of all, so that we can be a better part of the plant-based community, because that's where people are now going, whether local or global, people are looking at more plant-based products.
And I was on your website last week and today, just looking through it and figuring out what exactly you guys produce. And I was so surprised to see that Lifakong Moringa has a farm in Bosplas, and you guys say you've planted over 7,000 trees. How do you get to 7,000 trees? How long did that take to do?
Okay, so the Moringa journey, we started in 2017. I went commercial with the first 1,000 trees. So the Moringa tree, it's in itself, is drought resistant, and it can grow anyway as long as the conditions are favorable. So each tree also bears seeds. So the seeds that the trees bear, we harvest, and then we can also transplant them. So one tree, one seed. So our farm started off with 1,000 trees. Now we're sitting almost at about 10,000 trees, because it's now moved from 7.5 to 10,000 trees. Now with the Moringa tree itself, none of the tree goes to waste. So the leaves we use for agro-processing, which is now all our value-added products that we do. The seeds we use then to plant more trees, or we use also for oil pressing. So the actual seed you actually use for oil pressing, the barks can also be used as part of animal feedlot. The Moringa root itself can be used for other medicinal purposes, like your male libido. So there's a lot of things that can go into this tree of life, hence it's called the tree of life.
And the product variations that you have, I mentioned earlier that you have some tea, salt, even do gin, and then also so that you guys have a beard oil. Why did you choose to go with these specific products?
Okay, so let me just pick a tea, for instance. So in the tea space, we have five variants of the tea. We've got the original, lemon, cinnamon, berry, and ginger. And each household has tea, whether we like it or not, globally and locally. Each household has a tea. So that's also part of a lifestyle. We're saying, instead of having your Joko tea or whichever other tea, have your Moringa tea on your table, and it's got more added benefits in it. So hence we went into that space. For instance, your beard oils, we looked at male grooming, for instance. A lot of males these days have got beards, you know, and with the Moringa oil, which is high in vitamin E, that beard oil actually enhances the hair growth, follicles, and it helps, you know, with the rearing of the beard. So all our products that we look at are based on how the end user can then, you know, be able to consume it. you know, without limiting them to that. So for instance, we also came up with the Moringa gin, the more gin. So it's a Moringa distilled gin. So during the distillation process, they actually use the Moringa leaves and powder with other natural botanicals, right? So Moringa in itself, you know, it's a natural liver buffer. So those who consume it keep saying, no, it's a very refreshing drink. And also it does not give them, you know, your after effects like your babalas or hangover. So that's another of it. So it's a more, look, it's an alcoholic beverage, but it doesn't give that, you know, you're feeling sick, you know. So that's all that's put in place.
Okay. And I wanted to actually touch on that because as someone who dabbles a bit in your gins, I'm wondering if I have a shot of more gin in my cocktail, is it going to give me some health benefits? Is it less risky health-wise than your other store-bought gin products?
Look, alcohol is alcohol, but remember, natural diuretic, especially if it's done with natural botanicals. So now in the moringa specifically, we've added about 43% moringa in it. So moringa in itself there helps as a natural buffer. But remember now, anything in excess does not work. So if you just take what the body can take in, you know, you won't suffer the after effects, though the gin is 43% alcohol. So obviously anything in moderation and limited will then, you know, give you your added benefits, you know. And but what we're doing now, we're doing trials on those who are drinking it. Maybe they've got blood pressure, sugar, diabetes. How does it affect them, right? Because that's also important. So we know that if these consumers are drinking it and they've got this specific ailment, how are they reacting to it? Is it assisting with their ailment, you know, lowering their blood pressure or the sugar, etc.? So we're not only doing products for the sake of having products on the shelves, we're also doing products looking at how they affect our end users in a healthy and natural way, you know.
Mm, that's interesting that you mentioned that. And I'm wondering, with your production process, you are based in the Northwest in Bosblas, but I'm wondering, with all the variety of products that you guys produce, is that all produced from that farm? Or can you please just speak on your manufacturing capacity? How do you process everything? Is it all in one place?
All right. So we do what I call from farm, moringa production, from farm to packet. So we do the whole value chain. The only products that we do not produce on the farm would then be the gin. We're not a distillery. So the gin that's dried is then taken off to the distillery then for the distillation to happen. Your other products, your tea bags, health salts, powders, oils, we all produce on the farm. So we're busy with the processing unit and we do our drying here and packaging is also done here. So everything is done in-house so that it's literally from farm packet out to the mainstream economy.
That's quite fabulous to hear. I mean, you must have a very diverse workforce then to kind of handle all the dynamic aspects in terms of picking, cleaning, packaging. You must have quite the workforce to help you with that.
That's correct. So at Lefakong Farming, when I embarked on this journey, I sat down with my local municipality because with the moringa production, it's very, very steep on the pocket in terms of workforce. Just harvesting on its own with this farm, we need almost about 30 people to be able to pull that off. So I sat down with my local municipality and they've got a program called Community Work Program under in the cocktail department. So since 2018, and we've got an MOU until 2025, they've given the Fakong Farming workforce of 30 people who are literally based on the farm from Monday to Thursday, and they help us with all these activities. Though we've also got our own workforce, people that are paid by the Fakong, but those also help us enhance it. Now, with that program, it's twofold. While they're helping us to be able to be economically viable and sustainable, the give back or the buyback is that we then train these women, it's most women and youth, right, of the Bosblas community on everything moringa or agricultural based. We not only leave it at the primary production, we also train them in agro-processing, right? So tea bag manufacturing, for instance. So if they decide to leave the program, they're then well equipped to be able to start their own tea manufacturing, you know, processing and do their own thing. So we take them through trainings. You know, we make sure that they are at par with what the standards are out there. So everybody, it all works almost clockwork, right? Where we know this department does this, these are the people responsible for it, and everybody's got a big stake in how we are and why we are where we are today and why we are sustainable.
And I think that also speaks to the importance then of being able to partner with different players in the economy, even the provincial economy, like you mentioned, now that you work with your municipality to make sure that your farm and business functions, but also you kind of help others, upskill others in the agricultural sector. I'm wondering if you can just comment on the importance of partnerships like the ones that you have for small businesses and helping them to get to the next level, like the Moringa business that you run.
Right. So partnerships are very important and critical, especially for small business. And often when I engage with owners of small business, they are very scared to go into partnerships. And they believe that maybe the partnership will swallow up the idea, et cetera, et cetera. But I say partnerships are very critical. I've got lots of stakeholders. I've got your ARC involved in this project. I've got your CSIR involved in this project. And each one of those stakeholders brings something unique into the sustainability of the project. They bring in new ideas, fresh ideas. So when you have partners of that caliber and you're in partnership with people, you can grow your business further and beyond and be able to think globally. Even though you are local, you're thinking outside of your box to say the possibilities are endless, you know. So I'm saying to small businesses, do not hold back. Partnerships are very critical for us to grow. And if you want to see return on investment that you've put in all the work, when you partner with those like-minded people, you're able to see the results faster. And they bringing more tangible solutions to the table. Whereas when you're sitting alone, you sometimes cannot find solutions. I mean, most of the time people say, you know, there's no funding, there's this and this and that. But if you partner with the right institutions and people, that's where the funding is. ARC will come in and say, okay, we see Lefakong doesn't have Georgia tanks, and they bring us 3 Georgia tanks, you know, of 10,000 liter capacity. That's good money. You know, CSIR have done, for instance, now a Moringa app, and they've used data from our farm. So that app also assists other farmers. It also assists us as Lefakong. So there's a whole lot of integrated things that go on when you partner with the right stakeholders in your specific sector.
And I find that a point about identity to be quite interesting, and small businesses being worried about being swallowed up by the different partners that they might meet along the way. And I'm wondering how you have managed to preserve Lefakong Moringa's identity and vision within those partnerships and still drive the growth that you've seen so far.
Yeah, so with me, I am very open-minded, and you know, I know how far I go with my partnerships, and I understand that I am the brand owner at the end of the day. So we do welcome all their ideas, projects that they bring on board, and you know, we collaborate in a very mature way that they also understand that while they're assisting Lefakong to get to the next level, we do not lose our brand identity. So the partnerships that I have formulated over the years, I'm fortunate that they have just been there assisting us and giving us all the support and allowed us, you know, to be the forerunners of the actual end product and the whole process and the company itself. So it also depends how you put together your agreements with your partners. You know, obviously there's parameters, but remember then they also bring something tangible to the table. So partners that allow you to be you in this partnership space, very critical.
And in terms of your market, I'd like to touch on that for a bit. Where are most of your sales coming from? Can you just speak about who the Lefakong Moringa customer is currently?
Okay, so we've been fortunate. We have been had a taste of local to be in the local markets, mm-hmm. but we found that locally our product, there's a lot of Moringa companies. If you, for instance, go into the Dischem shelf, and it sometimes it hampers small companies like ourselves to sit in Dischem. So I thought, well, instead of fighting for shop space, I've got a lot of expos, especially with the DTI in WDC and the international expos. That's when my mind came to say, okay, let's now focus at exports. So believe it or not, since last year, we've been exporting to Botswana. So that's gone quite well. And we also now started exporting to the US. And the US market came about because we went to the Summer Fancy Food Show in June this year. And the first orders are going out next week. We've also targeted Mauritius. I had the privilege to visit Mauritius with CEDA, which is also one of our partners. And we just came back from Dubai, and there's a potential of also now exporting our Moringa into that space, you know. So for me, globally, it's where we can be able to sustain our project, though we are not not saying we're not looking at our local markets. We are looking and still knocking at doors, but there's a lot of red tape. But fortunately for the gin, we are able to sit in your topses, and now we're busy negotiating with your liquor city. But as for the other health products, we're really, really battling to have them and have shelf space in your Clicks, your Dis-Chem, etc. And it's purely because we're a small business. The worry is sustainability. And I mean, you know, sustainability for the Fako Moringa is that other than what we grow on the farm, I've also got feeder farmers who feed into our role, right? So as long as we've got the feeder farmers in place, sustainability is not an issue because we will still have a flow of Moringa, you know, as long as we understand who our clients are and the orders, how they go.
You mentioned some quite big markets there when you just explained where you are working and where you look to grow in the international market. And I'm just wondering how that adds the dynamic of operations for Lifakong. Can you explain the export dynamics of getting your product out to all these markets? How has that experience been for you?
Okay, first of all, we don't have an in-house export house, but we've now outsourced that. So we've got an export logistic company that assists with that element of things. For instance, let's pick the US. So for us to export to the US, we had to look at, for instance, labeling. Right. So they like the product, they like the packaging. But however, the labeling is not in grams, it's in oz. So we had to then use the labeling, you know, to suit that specific export market, right? And make sure that it's they can be able to relate to that, number one. Number two, we looked at all the clients we needed, whether it's your FDA registration that we need, you know, for the US, which we're currently busy on. But however, because we're doing it organically, we are now still exporting our products out so that they can be in the marketplace. 1 foot into a marketplace is better than no foot, right? And we're growing it. Thirdly, we also work closely with distributors. So in each place where we are exporting to, we're not running a one-man show. We have distributors who are helping us, who are assisting us to go into the marketplace, right? So we've got also those partnerships where we're saying we've got distributors, they're helping us get into the shelves, and we have an agreement with them of how we're going to do the profit sharing or how the storage is going to go, etc. So it's a whole integrated system that we have when we're dealing with each individual export market. So Botswana is just across the road, so that's not a major. But your other, you know, export markets that we're targeting are going to be specifically tailor-made for that. And that ties into our export strategy that we're busy building up. Every time we're going out there into the marketplace globally, we're busy building up our export strategy, which is very critical for a company to survive, you know, in the global market.
And there you have it, CEO and founder of Lifakong Moringa, Mabuang Matlo, speaking about the dynamics of being a small business owner in South Africa and also touching on the growth in the international markets and how that has fared for her business currently, sharing some interesting insights on how beneficial the international market may be in comparison to the local market. Thank you so much, Mabuang. I really appreciated your time and speaking with you today.
Thank you very much. Have a more day further.
This episode of the Small Business Conversations podcast was sponsored by Nedbank Small Business Services. If you enjoyed this episode, please download the Small Business Conversations podcast on all digital platforms. And don't forget to share our episodes. If you want to contribute to the conversation, you can X me at Machoba_A, or you can email us at smepodcast@manweb.co.za to share your thoughts and suggestions for future conversations. Until next time, goodbye. And don't forget to support a small business near you.
You've been listening to Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba. To listen to more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, or your favorite podcast platforms. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.